We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Warming up in the bullpen for the Baltimore Orioles, a 12-game winner already this year, Steve Stone.
Steve Stone.
That one's going to be on highlight reels all year long.
Cy Young Award winner.
Uncle Junior from The Sopranos.
Wonderful character, by the way.
Didn't end great.
Never really does.
You may run North Jersey, but you don't run your Uncle Junior. How many hours did I spend playing catch with you?
Chicago White Sox television analyst.
This is where Yasmani's got to be thinking about trying to hit the ball out of the ballpark.
Rondon right field. We have a new constellation. 3-1 Sox.
He was thinking about hitting a home run.
Oh, was he?
Steve Stone.
Here's Adam Engel, who's back from the injured list.
You never know what kind of timing he's going to come back with, but if his timing is okay, this is a good matchup for him against Pineda.
On a fastball to left field. Larnick is back. He's not going to get there. It's rolling all the way to the wall. And Engel will chug into second base with the one-out double. Good matchup, you say, huh? Good matchup?
It was a very good matchup.
Hey, hey, I want to be a rock star.
Oh, I want to be a rock star.
With Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
This segment with Steve Stone is presented by MailMedChicago.com, where a full head of hair scores every time. Chris Ranji in for Danny Parkins. Me, Matt Spiegel, here with you. And Stoney, what a wonderful moment to get to talk to you. Before we get White Sox specific, have you ever seen the chaos and the volume of trades I know you love these days, as do we? And why is this one so outrageous this year?
I think a couple of different reasons, Speaks. First of all, in over a half a century where I've been involved in professional baseball, I have never seen a trade deadline like this one, because it was a couple of perfect storms that came together. Number one, you don't have that waiver period trade at the end of August. That's number one. So you have one trading deadline, and it was this one. Two, you're coming off a 60-game season where nobody knew exactly what would happen this year. And so, just coincidentally, it was a lot of contracts expiring. And there were a lot of general managers and presidents of baseball ops that said, you know what, I'm not going to let him walk out the door for nothing. So I'm going to get whatever I can get for him. And that precipitated a lot more trades. Also, you have the collective bargaining agreement coming up this offseason. And there's a lot of people that think, you know, there's a chance for either a strike or a lockout next year. So next year is not promised to anybody, because there's a lot of negotiating to go until then. So you have three, four, five different things getting together, and teams are going for it this year. You happen to have a lot more teams in it because, again, off a 60-game season, you have a lot of players getting hurt that wouldn't have been hurt in a normal year. So you're having a lot of fill-ins. Nobody can really pull away. You're seeing competitive races in a lot of the divisions, which means you have many more teams motivated to go get them. And then you have some of the real big money teams that are down there at the deadline with a lot of money to spend, some players to take on, and all of it formed together in one of the most outrageous, one of the most entertaining, one of the most exciting deadline periods that I've ever seen.
And so here's the White Sox, who have increased their bullpen's ability. It's just a good bullpen. It was good before, but it got so much better today. So where are they now within the context of the American League?
Well, first of all, the bullpen is probably the best, because don't overlook Ryan Tepera, who's really good. So you got some guys out there, along with Crochet, you got five or six guys out there that are going to come in and just, you know, they're going to knock your eyes out. So I think the bullpen is really strong. And as far as what's going on, you look at all the contenders and everybody really helped themselves. You know, there were some gigantic moves that were rumored where the teams didn't get it. I think at the end, there were some teams that tried to make things happen that really didn't get exactly what they wanted. But you'll find that most of the contending teams made themselves better. The Yankees are going to take a run at probably that wild card, and then they've got Gerrit Cole if they can possibly realign their rotation to that one and done game. Nobody wants to face Cole in one and done, but the Yankees, you know, they went for it. They with Gallo, they made themselves a whole lot better. And Rizzo, they made themselves a whole lot better. I mean, imagine the New York Yankees with ostensibly some very smart people running the team, assembling a baseball team of right-hand hitters in a park that screams out for left-hand power. So at least they had a chance to amend that. And, you know, the Yankees are they're a pretty decent ball club. They get their work cut out for them because they're chasing Tampa Bay and Boston. Boston really didn't do what I thought they might do, but Tampa Bay got better. So you look at the American League, which I think is better overall than the National League anyway, and you say to yourself, the teams that are going for it, they really showed they're going for it, and it got a whole – I think the league got a whole lot tougher.
Yeah, I mean, Toronto gets Jose Berríos in that division. The Reds.
Yeah, that's a big move for them. And, again, you know, they're back, Spiegs. They're back chasing, but boy, all of a sudden the rotation's looking pretty good.
Yeah. You know, Stoney, I remember the Nasty Boys with Dibble and Charlton and Myers. Mm-hmm. And I remember teams that had great multiple closers, but I can't remember a team with a top three closer in baseball trading for another top three closer. It feels unprecedented, and what a fascinating job for Tony La Russa. I know he's just spoken a little bit about it and said that there'll be options to use these guys when they're even or when they're behind. And so that's a big factor. But what do you do if you're winning a bunch of games in a row? Who gets the saves? Who doesn't? How do you do that?
Well, I hope that, you know, the old saying of check your ego at the door holds true here, because this team would dearly love a World Series title. And to do that, number one, you've got to get to the playoffs. Number two, you have got to be able to check your egos at the door. And I think that's what's going to happen. I think, you know, it's going to be interchangeable closers. I don't think there'll be a designation. I think one time, if it's going to be Hendricks, it'll be Hendricks. And if he maybe needs a day, then, you know, that's going to be Kimbrel. And setting up is going to be one day in the eighth inning. It's going to be Kopech. And if he can't go, then it might be Tapera. I mean, it's a wonderful, wonderful problem to have. That being said, the biggest thing that has to happen to the Sox now is the health of this offense. They have to get reassembled. Eloy Jimenez has got to show that he can actually go out to the field, keep himself upright, and play every day. If he can do that, and Luis Robert comes back, and Grandal comes back, you know, everybody wants to judge this offense on what they have done thus far. This team has not been assembled. It is reassembling itself due to injuries. And then these guys aren't going to come back and start ripping the baseball. It's going to take some time to get their rhythm back. And so I'm thinking, you know, somewhere along the line, maybe the team looks a whole lot different on September 1st. And you know, they're going to have to win some games with really strong pitching. And I would like to think Hernandez, especially at second base, really helps shore up the defense, because, quite frankly, the defense has been really spotty at best. Sometimes it's not very good. Usually great pitching goes hand-in-hand with good defense. The Sox team kind of goes against the grain there, because this has been great starting pitching especially, and the defense hasn't been real good.
Hey, Stoney, do you think you could sell Liam Hendricks on being a right-handed version of Andrew Miller? Come into a game anytime when we need you. Be prepared to go for a long time because he can. And that way you're saying, look, this is the most important spot in a modern bullpen. We'll let Kimbrel close, but you can do this stuff. You think you could sell that to him?
I think Liam has said before that he'll come in anytime you hand him the ball. So I don't know if that's really a problem. I can't see him going like Andrew Miller went. Andrew Miller was an unusual left-hander. He was very, very durable, but he was also, I mean, he was a really good starting pitcher who got a whole lot better as a multi-inning reliever. I'm not sure that Liam Hendricks was that kind of guy, because he wasn't a particularly good starting pitcher. Then he learned about backspin, and he learned to do a couple of different things. Now he throws awfully hard, and he's a great short inning man. But you have so many guys out there. I don't think you need that many multiple innings out of Liam Hendricks. I mean, you've got any number of guys out there. You start in the fifth inning with the lead, it's going to be tough to come back on his bullpen. I mean, you got guys that you can keep throwing in the game that nobody hits very well. I mean, how many guys are squaring up Kopech these days? Not many. And, you know, you don't even think about him at the back end. You think about him in the eighth inning. Crochet, as he gets innings, is going to get a whole lot better. Tapera is having a great year. You know, and the bullpen will have other guys. Aaron Bummer is one of the better guys around. He's been inconsistent. But if you look at the bad luck he's had, 11 chopper hits in the infield. I mean, he has one of the best ratios of ground balls to fly balls of any pitcher. He's pitching in tough luck, but add him, you're going six deep now. I mean, you can maybe start your bullpen in the fourth inning, and then nobody hits it. I can envision that happening. Until this offense picks up, there's going to be a lot of pressure on that bullpen, but the starting pitchers are there to protect the bullpen.
Steve, a moment ago, you mentioned Eloy Jimenez, who's not going to play tonight. He's not in the lineup. Do we think he's going to be back this weekend at some point, or what's the status?
I have no idea when he's going to be back. I do know one thing, that the last thing they want to do is bring him back and see him get hurt, because they can't afford to have him on the shelf for another month. I mean, they got to get him, get his rhythm back again. And so if it means that he's not going to play left field, well, so be it. Will it hurt the delicate sensibilities that are Eloy Jimenez? That's not the object of this exercise. The object is to put the best team on the field, which means Eloy has to stay healthy. And if that's as a DH, then it'll be as a DH. Andrew Vaughn has played a really solid left field, a lot better than everybody thought he could play it. Right now, he's a better defender than Eloy is. But to the point, whether he can play better defense is not the issue. The fact is, Andrew Vaughn has stayed healthy. Eloy Jimenez has not. To make this team all they can be, they need Eloy to be healthy. They need Luis to come back and be healthy. And if that's the case, along with Yaz, I think you're going to see a pretty good offense to go with a very special pitching staff, top to bottom.
Stoney, so much to ask you about. I want to ask you about the return that the Cubs had to give up for Craig Kimbrell. But before we do that, Carlos Rodon, is there a difference between a tired pitcher and a dead arm pitcher? And I think you said pretty definitively it looks like a dead arm. Tell people what that is for Carlos Rodon, and should they worry long term?
No, usually pitchers come back. And with Carlos, who threw 42, 43 innings in the last 2 years, he's at the 100-inning mark, something along those lines. He's at the 20-21 start mark, whatever it is. It's unrealistic to assume that he's going to get 32 starts and 200 innings. You can't really protect him doing that. So what happens with a tired arm period, and it happens to all pitchers, not just guys who haven't pitched the better part of the last 2 years. You're sailing along. Everything is good. You don't have any pain in your arm. It's just that you don't have any life in it. And the way I described it was, you can probably get, and we've seen him get to 96 or 97 miles an hour. But that 96 or 97 that you have when your arm is not quite as lively as it should be, that means there's no little hop at the end. That means that guys can square it up pretty well if you miss your spot. If you, and I'm sure you guys did, you looked at Carlos earlier, he would throw 98, 97, 99. He would keep it up in the zone, and guys just couldn't square it up. If they popped it up, that was good. Most of the time they missed it. It's because that little extra life on the ball, that little backspin that you get when your arm is feeling really good. And so I've been talking about this with monitoring the innings from the beginning of the year about guys who haven't had that much use over the last couple of years. That was a delicate balance that all managers and all front offices in baseball had to try to tightrope with their pitchers. And Carlos is going through that now. So I would anticipate, maybe next time out, he's a lot better. Maybe it's a time after that. But the arm will rebound. And, again, with him, I don't know exactly when it's going to be, because he had a different set of circumstances than most. It wasn't just a 60-game season. It was the fact that he almost didn't throw for the last 2 years.
Could we get to the point where maybe they're skipping starts or trying to back him up a day or two, something like that?
Oh, absolutely. I can see that for sure. We're seeing it with a lot of some of the younger pitchers. I mean, you might remember a couple of games, guys against us went four innings. Peralta went four innings against us in that first game with Milwaukee, a team that was, you know, that obviously is in a race for the division title. And yet he was throwing brilliantly, but Craig Counsell threw him four innings because he was a reliever. Now he's a starter. You can't have him going out there throwing six, seven, eight innings every start and expect that when you really need him as your third starting pitcher, when it gets to the playoffs, which I assume the Brewers are going to get there, especially now, they want to make sure he's healthy. To do that, you've got to monitor his innings. Sometimes you skip a start. Sometimes, amazingly enough, you might even get hurt and spend 10 days on the IL. I mean, it just happens like that. So we'll have to see how it's monitored by all of the teams that have younger pitchers or guys that were injured coming back.
Your honest assessment, not that you're not honest, but your fair assessment, not that you're not fair. Your assessment, Steve Stone, of Cody Hoyer and Nick Madrigal as compensation for a year and a half of Craig Kimbrell by the Cubs.
Well, I think it's going to turn out to be a pretty decent trade for both sides. I think, you know, I will say a couple of different things. Number one, I think Cody Hoyer is going to be a much better pitcher than he was here. He was very good last year. This year, he just couldn't get that first pitch strike over consistently. He didn't have the kind of command that he really needs. The stuff is outstanding. When the slider, the change, and the sinking fastball are working, he can be very good. So I like the upside of his arm. As far as Madrigal is concerned, you know, this is not a knock on anybody, but when you're making a trade, the best trades you make are trades where you might know something about a guy that other people don't know. And that not only with Hoyer or Madrigal, it's anybody you trade. The object of making really good trades is scouting your own system very well. You scout your own system and know your own players and know what they can do, what they can't do. You also look at them now and you see how close they are to their ceiling and know that that ceiling is not going to advance beyond where it is now. Then those are the times you make a deal, and hopefully, you know, the deal works out for both teams. That's what you're looking for. But as far as Nick is concerned, I believe that he was overdrafted at first round, fourth pick in the draft. I think that that's too high for him because I think he is an adequate, at best, defender. I thought he would run the bases better. He didn't. He's a really good hitter who's not going to be impactful. Because of his size, everybody wanted to liken him to Pedroia or Altuve. He's not going to be Pedroia or Altuve. It's just not, that's not the way he swings. But I think he's a very useful player. You like him in the lineup. He's going to get on base. He does that very well. He doesn't strike out. He makes contact. I think that part of it's all good. I think he will get better from where he is now. But like I say, when you're 1-4, you got to be a stud. Nick is not a stud. Nick is a good player. But again, you're going to have some situations defensively where you're going to look and say, you know what? The arm isn't all that good. The judgment might not be great. But those two guys for Kimbrell, I think is a pretty decent return. Because, look, everybody, the fan of every team, you know what they want to do? The White Sox fans, they want the Sox to get Shohei Ohtani, and they want to give up Lopez, and they want to give up Fry. Well, it doesn't work that way. You gotta. If you're going to get a good player, you got to give a couple of guys back. There's a lot of Sox fans that think the Sox gave up too much. I don't think they did. I think it's an equitable trade for both sides. And I think that's what you saw. A lot of guys took their assets down to the last minute, and maybe they didn't get quite what they would like. But the market, you only get what the market will bear. So we'll see how it pans out. You can't evaluate a trade on the day you make it.
A while ago, you talked about Cesar Hernandez. How much better are they, or stable, both defensively and offensively at second now?
Well, you get a gold glove at second base. I mean, with all due respect to Leury, what happens with swing players, what happens with guys who are extra men that give you the versatility that Leury gives you, when they play every day, they show you why they're swing men. And Leury has been playing every day out of necessity. And he's just not the answer long-term at second base. You could not envision this team going into the playoffs with Leury at second base. He's just not that steady a defender. But Hernandez is. He's a gold glove defender. Does he have the greatest range? He probably doesn't, but he's got very good hands. And this team is a much better team having him in this lineup. So that combination of Anderson and Hernandez is going to be better than just about any combination they've had to date. Everybody knew that the Sox needed a second baseman. Everybody wanted it to be Frazier. Maybe the cost was a little too high for him at the time. At the time, maybe Pittsburgh had delusions of grandeur. Maybe they were thinking of packaging Frazier with somebody else, maybe Stallings. Whatever it was, it didn't work out. San Diego came in and got him. And so with all the guys left, I think Marcus Semien, I don't see the market for him. Really, I don't think the desire of Toronto was to move him because he's a really good player. So it came down to a switch hitter, a man who can hit the ball from the left side, which is something the Sox need, and a guy who's dependable defensively, and a guy who you can have next year also, which is really important now because I think all in all, if they got a substantive deal, the Sox thought that Madrigal was going to go in that deal. That was one of their big bargaining chips.
I think this is a really healthy thing for baseball to have the deadline be this crazy and this volatile. So we need, Stoney, to make sure, get rid of the waiver thing for in perpetuity. I hope to hell they can learn from that. Well, I don't know if there's anything else we can do. Maybe stay at 10 playoff teams. I don't know if there were 16 playoff teams, if it would be like this. Probably not. Not as many definitive sellers, right?
No, I think the more playoffs you have, number one, the better it is for a lot of different people. It's better for the city that you're in because, you know, I mentioned it a lot, 2006, the Cardinals under Tony La Russa won 83 games and won the World Series. So everybody says, oh, you got to win games in August. This Sox team has to come together. You got to start winning games now. No, you really don't. You have to get to the playoffs. And when you get to the playoffs, the team with the hottest pitching and hottest players, that's the team that's going to win it. And usually it's not the best team. The Dodgers arguably were the best team in baseball for I don't know how many years, and they won one World Series. They won one World Series from 1988 until last year. And they had wonderful teams. But a lot of things happen on the way to the coronation, and most of the time the best teams don't win. It's the healthiest and the hottest teams. So I like more teams in the playoffs for a couple of different reasons. Number one, it's better economically for baseball because they get paid off on the back end. They get paid off on playoff rounds as opposed to on in-season games. So the more they get, the more players can get. The more players can get, the happier everybody is. And I think that it's good. It's very good for the sport. So I think we'll see another layer of playoffs. I think that's one of the bargaining chips the players have. That's one of the things they'll use that to get something else back that they really want, whatever it is. I don't know what that is. But I think you guys concentrate this year on that collective bargaining agreement because it's going to be fascinating. Not only rule changes, but changes like, Spiegs, you were talking about, not having that second trading deadline.
Yep.
I think it makes it really exciting. Puts a lot of pressure on teams to get things done. And the last 2 days, I mentioned it before we headed into these last 2 days, these are two of the most exciting days for me on the baseball calendar. I've really loved to see what's been going on.
Yeah, it's been great stuff. Stoney, you're the best. Thanks so much. Have a good call tonight with the Indians in town, and we'll be talking to you, that's for sure.
Okay, guys, take care. Have a good rest of the show.
Thank
Bye.
You. See you. Steve Stone joining us. My goodness. Couple things. Number one, his assessment of Nick Madrigal was a little...
Didn't expect that.
Oh, it's a little bit jarring. Yeah. A little.
No, I tweeted this earlier. I think he's going to be a nice.
Jeez Louise, that was rough.
Yes, it was.
He will be a nice player. And that's about it. I think he's useful, and I think he does something they need, but he's certainly not a game changer for them. But then again, he can also play sooner for them, and there's more of a known quantity there as opposed to getting back a prospect in return.
Sure, you know there was a guy who caught a lot of flack because he was an all-star every year. He finished in MVP voting, top 10 a couple times, top 20 another couple times. Got a lot of flack, and that's Michael Young of the Texas Rangers.
Yeah,
and Michael Young was a middle infielder. But he had a little bit of pop. He had homers in the 20s a couple of times. And he still got a lot of flack because the OPS numbers were in the high sevens. Got into the eights every once in a while. And the on-base percentage was never too far from the batting average. You know, he was that guy. And, I mean, I've been hoping for that as a ceiling for Nick Madrigal. But that means that the power would have to come. If there's no power, it's less than that. So that's why when I talk about Madrigal as an overcorrection by Jed Hoyer as he desperately seeks contact after for years not having contact, it's not really a shot at Madrigal as much as it is just a description of the style and how violently the other direction it's a move in.
Yeah, Michael Young had a couple of seasons where he was really damn good.
Yeah, he did.
Like not just, you know, okay. There, I think it was 05 or 06 where he won the batting title.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot how many hits he had.
221. 221. Yeah. I mean, but I could see Nick Madrigal winning a batting title and having 200 hits.
I could see that, yeah. He's not going to have the pop. I don't think he's ever going to be a 24, 25 home run guy. And I don't think Young did that regularly. But Michael Young was a really good player for a while. And if that's the ceiling, I mean, honest to God, if that ends up being the ceiling or something close to it, then the Cubs got a pretty good piece in return. It's just I don't think he's going to light the world on fire. But also, Michael Young was on a team with a bunch of other dudes who could hit.
Yes, he was. And it worked out in that way. And then the other bit of news that must be shared. Javier Baez now has a Goodfellas treatment. Do I have this right that Chris Tannehill used vacation time to go ahead and put this together?
That's correct. He's the best to ever do it, the best who ever will do it.
He is the best sound man in the history and the future of sports talk radio. And the Javier Baez Goodfellas treatment comes your way at 5 o'clock. Right now, a texter asked a question. It's very important, and it is legit. His son is a huge Anthony Rizzo fan, and he asks, how am I supposed to tell my child about this? When you do, don't take a video and put it on YouTube. Just don't do that. Be better than that. I remember the Brent Lillibridge trade, but he's my favorite guy. That crying kid is probably 30 now, but anyway.
And doesn't remember who Brent Lillibridge is now.
Yeah, right, exactly. But, you know, we need to give advice. If you've got thoughts, if you've got advice for the listener who's trying to figure out how to do it, Shane, I'm looking at you.
Do we give advice, though, to tell his kid to pick a different favorite player and not a guy who refuses to get vaccinated
now
and save more lives?
I think it's totally relevant.
Happened. Let's pretend it's Chris Bryant.
He's not in town anymore.
Let's pretend it's Javier Baez. He's got a lot. He's got a lot of guys.
Don't pick an anti-vaxxer this time.
Yeah, I got a lot of guys to choose from. Help our listener out, and they'll have you buy his Goodfellas treatment top of the hour. Keep it here on The Score.
A lot of heavy hitters, a lot of big boys with a lot of clout, and walking into a new clubhouse for the first time in a long time, it's a good feeling. You come in here, and you can't help but just be excited and giddy. You just can't wait to get out there and play.
That is New York Yankees first baseman Anthony Rizzo. Do we know what number he's wearing? 44 was Reggie Jackson, so 44 ain't going to be happening for good old Ant. Heavy stuff there for Anthony Rizzo. Trying to think of the lefty power-hitting Yankees first baseman of my youth. Chris Chambliss? Not really. I mean, he was good. He was good there. But, I mean, Steve Kemp they grabbed later on. You remember Steve Kemp? I'm old. Mark Teixeira.
Mark Teixeira. That's a good one.
Right. Left-handed hitting first baseman with some pop. Rizzo is exactly the offensive profile that they need. Right? I mean, more so than Gallo. Gallo will hit a million homers and also strike out and walk. Rizzo is exactly what they needed.
And he probably has, based on this year, and I forgot who tweeted it out today, and they did a really nice job of it, that probably would have 9 or 10 more home runs if he played in that ballpark. If that was his home ballpark, just based on the way he hits, where he hits them, and that short porch in right field. I mean, it is absolutely the perfect acquisition for them. And the Gallo acquisition is perfect for them. So for a team that's got wild card aspirations, they put themselves in really good possession. And you know what else? Stoney made a really good point. We're focusing so much on what the White Sox and Cubs did and the White Sox improving within the American League Central. All of the contending teams got better in the last couple of days. So it's not like you see very many of those teams just kind of, you know, we're just going to stand pat with what we have. I mean, maybe the Padres didn't get the starting pitching help they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we all thought they were getting Scherzer for a couple hours last night.
Yeah.
But every single team, for the most part, has found a way to get better.
What do you tell your kids? What do you tell your kids when they start to cry that Rizzo and Bryant and Baez are gone, or if any one of them are their favorite players? I had one guy who tweeted at me and said, I told my son, whose favorite players were Rizzo, Bryant, and Baez, he said he is no longer a Cubs fan and will never watch a baseball game again. He's 7. Seven wow. years old.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God. Another guy on Twitter said that I remember when they did this to me, and I became a White Sox fan. Another guy said, it takes time to get over it, but it's part of being a fan. My daughter's 14. I remember her being very mad at me when the Cubs traded Derek Lee, as if it had been my decision. But now she's still there. Another texter says that his son is 13, or his daughter, is 13, and she was a huge Baez fan, and she's currently drinking scotch and kicking the cat. So,
well, how old is she?
13.
Ah, she's getting started late. as far as my children go, Matt, first of all, they have to get over the fact they don't know who their father is. And secondly, I don't know what I would say to them now. I would say, look, life is full of disappointments.
Oh, see, that's the thing. The real answer is to use it as a teachable moment and say,
yes,
sometimes terrible things happen. But you don't want to tell that to your kids.
No. You want them to think everything's going to be good all the time.
Yes, my friend described it as you're keeping the balloon in the air. The balloon
of
not the helium balloon, but just a regular balloon. Well, just tap it up into the air. See, the world is wonderful,
right,
and all you're doing is helping to guide that balloon up in the air so they stay positive, and now you have no choice but to tell them your favorite people will leave you.
There's and maybe people in your family that you love.
Oh.
You never know.
Oh.
You hope not.
I know.
You hope not.
But
it happens. You wake up one day and dad's got a second family you don't know about, you know? That could happen.
It's happened to some people.
Well, of course it has.
Mm.
Here's what you want. You want your kids, as they're growing up, I think you want there to be, allow them to have a feeling of hope. Allow them to have the idea that hope can lead to good things, and a lot of good things can happen to you. But sometimes, every now and then, things aren't going to work out. And that's all you do. You just tell, look, hey, sometimes your favorite player is going to be gone because the front office doesn't know how to manage things, and they don't know how to draft well, and they don't know how to develop pitching when you really need pitching desperately.
Right.
I think you just explain that idea to them very well.
Well, you explain,
and they'll get it.
Explain the reality of it, that maybe you feel that way about the front office, and if that's the way you feel, then share it. Or maybe you say, you know, it's their job to make very difficult decisions. And they
thought, say that too.
I talked about this with my son today, who's like not the hugest baseball fan, but he's got an Anthony Rizzo coaster. And we watched Javier Baez get that walk off against Amir Garrett the other night. And he loved that. And he started wagging the bat around the other day when we were at the park, just like Javi was doing that with Garrett. So he's like, why did they do that, Daddy? And I said, because they had to make a very difficult decision that they didn't think they were good enough. So they're bringing in more players. They're bringing in new players. And maybe some of them will be good. He says, oh, okay.
See?
So you learn that.
Here's the thing. Whole way.
Yeah.
On January 8th, 2011, when the Cubs traded Sam Fold to the Rays for Matt Garza, Fernando Perez, and Zach Roscup, my dog came to me and said, what am I supposed to do here? And I said, Willie, this is the thing.
Yeah.
People are going to walk in and out of your life.
Yeah.
I might be one of them one day. There are going to be plenty of girls that come through that I'm dating. You're going to see them for a few months, and then you're not going to see them anymore. Sam Fold is the same way here. There's a chance that he could come back.
Uh-huh.
There's a chance you might see him again, but you just have to give up for right now and understand that you can appreciate these people when they're not in your hometown.
And then Willie vomited, licked up his own vomit,
and
carried on with
his day. Here's the thing. Willie's a girl.
Oh,
so don't
that's
disrespect
right.
my dog like that.
Good point.
That's my princess.
Oh, God.
People are enjoying that the 7-year-old had the same reaction as Roberta, the 84-year-old caller. Both ends of the spectrum.
Say at the end of your life, yeah, that you become a child again.
You regress. That's exactly right. There it is.
So, Ranji, how many illegitimate kids?
I don't know. They're illegitimate.
Yeah. Well, it's true. He wouldn't know.
How am I supposed to know that it's unknowable?
Oh, God. Tell the kid it's life. Go cut the grass. Here's another. Just be honest with your kids. It's sports and it happens. This person says, I told my son it's just like when your friends leave school. They live in another town now. I told him up that Nick Madrigal is really good, but after hearing Stoney's review, I might have to buy my kid a new video game this weekend. Whatever you got to do to make it work, sir.
I think Madden comes out soon, right? Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Did Stoney put that fire out or what? Nick Madrigal, any excitement you had about Nick Madrigal Cubs fans, sorry.
This is a moment to teach your kids about fantasy baseball. If they don't know it yet, they can be the owner and general manager of their own team, and they can pick players from anywhere, and they can put together their roster. I'm serious. This is an opportunity. Tell them about fantasy baseball, and your kid next year can have Baez and Rizzo and Bryant on his own team.
Yeah, and the best part about it is when you have a successful fantasy team, you can then go to Twitter or make phone calls into the Score talking about how you know how to put a team together better than the Cubs or any other front office in baseball. So that's the best thing that comes out of fantasy sports.
Yeah, textures are killing it. Tell your children, hope is fleeting, happiness is an illusion, all is loss. Go Cubs. Signed, a Sox fan. So, we'll come back and you're going to hear from Rick Hahn. Some very interesting things to say, including regarding Kenny Williams and Kimbrel and Hendricks. You'll hear that in a matter of moments. And then top of the hour, Javier Baez gets his Goodfellas treatment on the Score. You've got 670 The Score. It's Parkins and Spiegel, Spiegs and Chris Ranji. We'll hear from Rick Hahn in the next hour. We'll also hear, coming up at the top of the hour, Javier Baez getting the Goodfellas treatment from our guy Chris Tannehill. But here's what it sounded like at 3 when Anthony Rizzo got it from Tanny on the Score.
First baseman number 44, Anthony Rizzo.
Anthony Rizzo. Now Anthony's going to choke up with 2 strikes.
Chapman staring down the Cubs dugout.
Benches have cleared here in Cincinnati. Like Rizzo got into it with somebody.
He's the anchor of the whole group. There's no question about it.
Stands right on top of the plate.
Nickname should be the main ingredient or eggs. The main ingredient in the omelet.
Quote from Joe to reporters was something to the effect of, it's easier on the road to hire a magician than to get a 20-foot python.
Runners go. Swing and a miss. Hey, he got him. He got in ahead of the tag.
How about that slide?
It's magic.
It's magic.
You see that?
I wish all of you could be right here at this moment. Unbelievable atmosphere. The Cubs are in the National League Championship Series.
Yeah, maybe teams will have a target on us, but every day it's not like you're not going out there and giving it your 110%.
The Cubs are going to the World Series. The Cubs win the pennant.
The Indians have taken a commanding 3-1 lead.
I made sure Rocky was playing every day.
We came into the locker room game 5 and Rocky theme over and over again was playing.
How were you dressed that day?
I wasn't.
Cubs trying to win their first world title since 1908.
I'm an emotional wreck.
It's only going to get worse.
I'm in a glass case of emotion right now.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo.
It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
We're the last team standing. We boat raced the whole season. And we're going down in history as one of the best teams to ever play this game, no doubt about it.
Let's just say it's been a big year for the Brizzle Souvenir Company.
Lots of home runs. What do you know? The man's off the charts. That's another sale.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, your Chicago Cubs will raise the 2016 World Series championship banner.
High game, bottom of the 9th.
Base hit, Cubs win. Anthony Rizzo with a game winner.
It's got a chance. Gone. And Ron, there might be a new full-time permanent leadoff man for the Chicago Cubs.
Anthony loves that leadoff.
Rudolph.
Batting sixth and playing first base from the Chicago Cubs, Anthony Rizzo.
This could be our last run with all our core guys. This could be my last year. Who knows? I'm enjoying every second of it.
He's a platinum gold winner. He is a Navy SEAL type character.
Here comes the crowd. And this is good stuff. What an
impact
from Anthony Rizzo.
It's not a secret. I want to be a Cub for my whole career. It would be very special to do that. Right now, I can never see myself playing for another franchise.
Oh, we had a problem.
What do you mean?
Well, you know what I mean. He's gone, and we couldn't do nothing about it.
The Cubs, they are the buffet table for all the contenders.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.